And all God's people said, amen. That's the second time I think we could have just ended the service and been okay. We got Miles at the beginning. We would have been fine after that. We got the choir, so this is going to be a letdown now. We are still in our series looking at how Nehemiah dreamed of a better future and then inspired others to make it happen. To kind of recap where we are in the story, Nehemiah had his heart broken by the suffering of the people in Jerusalem. And so he had the vision to repair the walls and restore the city. He convinced the Persian king to invest in the project. And then Nehemiah went and saw it with his own two eyes, faced the reality of the situation rather than a fantasy, and then inspired the other leaders of the city to buy into that vision. And now that Nehemiah has his vision based in reality, the resources he needs for the job, and the support of capable teammates, let's see what those teammates actually did in response. Nehemiah 3, starting with 28. Above the horse gate, the priests made repairs, each one opposite his own house. After them, Zadok, son of Immer, made repairs opposite his own house. After him, Shemaiah, son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate, made repairs. After him, Hananiah, son of Shelemiah, and Hanun, sixth son of Zaloph, repaired another section. After him, Meshullam, son of Berechiah, made repairs opposite his living quarters. And after him, Malkijah, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs as far as the house of the temple servants and of the merchants opposite the muster gate and the upper room of the corner. And between the upper room of the corner and the sheep gate, the goldsmiths and the merchants made repairs. This is the word of the Lord. So thanks be to God. None of you just glazed over in that, did you? Don't worry, we'll explain it. Well, when was the last time you were on a commercial jet? If you haven't been in a few years, your memories might be better than the reality today. But most airlines, not all of them, most airlines still will pass out a snack. You know, like a peanuts, pretzels, stuff like that. And so I want you to remember, what's the most memorable snack you've ever had? Got any memorable snacks? Well, I actually do have a memorable snack experience. Southwest Airlines. They actually consider humor to be one of their core values, not like a nice add-on, a core value of the company. And on one flight, we were starting to climb after takeoff, so we're at a pretty steep angle of attack. And out of the corner of my eye, I noticed something slide by. Probably like a kid, dropped something, parrot's gonna have to go get it later, but then another one goes by, and then what's going on? And then over the loudspeaker, we hear to expedite the distribution of snacks, please reach down and grab them as they come down the aisle. All the pretzel bags he'd released at the front of the plane, and there they were sliding by. If you can make snack distribution memorable, you've gone above and beyond expectations. Nordstrom is another company that is legendary for going above and beyond expectations. One time, one of the guys on the cleaning staff found some bags of already purchased clothes that a customer had left behind. He got the name from the receipt and looked it up in the database and called the number several times and didn't get an answer. But he also noticed in the bag there was a flight itinerary. And he did the math and realized this person's going through security right now without their bags. And so he tracked down which airport it was, figured out the number for the airport, called the airport, got them to page the guy to say, we'll send your bags where you're going because we already know where you're going from your flight itinerary. That is commitment to getting someone their bags. If only everyone worked like that, right? That goes above and beyond expectations. Have you ever had an experience like that where a company or a person went above and beyond on your behalf? Well, in our text today, right after you glazed over, we see a list of the people who repair sections of the wall in Jerusalem. And it starts off by listing all these people who repaired the wall right across from their house. They helped the city and made their own backyards look better in the process. Nothing wrong with that. But then the scope of the repairs gets a little bit larger. And finally, we get to Malkijah, one of the goldsmiths. And his repairs are this huge section of the wall that extends way, way beyond his own backyard. He didn't just pitch in a little bit to help his city. He went above and beyond. He was to the repair effort what Southwest Airlines and Nordstrom are to customer service. He was inspired to go above and beyond, not just for himself, but for his neighborhood, for his city. Has anyone gone above and beyond for you? Or have you ever gone above and beyond for someone else or for a cause you believe in? Well, as you know, I was a computer programmer before I was a pastor, and it's interesting to see how people react to an idea depending on which company it comes from. For instance, Microsoft just purchased the most popular system for sharing your computer code with other people. Trust me, it's a big deal. And on one hand, it's nice to invest in the global computer programmer community because this is like a really important tool and they needed money. Now they have $6.4 billion. That's a little bit of money, courtesy of Microsoft. But programmers are a little bit familiar with Microsoft's past behavior. And in fact, they have the three E's to describe how Microsoft typically interacts with other people. Embrace, extend, and extinguish. In other words, Microsoft has a long history of playing nice at first and then coming up with ideas that just happen to be incompatible with anyone else. And then when everyone else goes out of business, we don't need that anymore. Embrace, extend, and extinguish. And so based on that past, if an idea comes from Microsoft, even if it seems nice, developers have two bucketfuls of skepticism based on their past behavior. Past behavior matters. Or maybe you've heard that Walmart is buying up some upscale clothing brands. And they actually just bought one of my favorites, Bonobos. But instead of, you know, having this upscale brand improving my thoughts about Walmart, I find myself being skeptical of the previously upscale brand. It's hard for me to feel like I'm getting, you know, upscale quality at a place that has predicated their whole existence on being the cheapest possible, even if you have to reduce quality to get there. Past behavior matters. Or when I was living in Pennsylvania, there was this kind of infamous property developer, and he was pretty abrasive, and he was well known for really pushing the boundaries of what zoning would allow. And so there were people, if he ever proposed a project, they would show up to oppose it just because it was coming from him. We don't know why we need to oppose it yet, but if it's his idea, we should oppose it. We'll find out later why. Past behavior matters. You can't buy different values. You can't purchase a new heart. And so if you feel like God might be calling you to go above and beyond for someone else, how will they perceive you based on your past actions? Past behavior matters. If you feel like God is calling you to change something in your family or to invest in improving the relationships in your family, you can't expect your family members to just switch their impressions of you immediately. If you've spent 10 years letting them know it's my way or the highway, they're not just going to all of a sudden believe you when you say you want to hear their opinions. You're going to have to earn their trust for a long time before they start opening up. If you feel like God is calling you to invest in a relationship in your neighborhood or at work, what message has your past behavior sent? Will you be welcomed? Will you be feared? Will you be respected? Are you going to be written off as a waste of time? Past behavior matters. If you want things to be different, you've got to be committed for a long time. You can't change a 10-year-old pattern for 2 weeks and say, well, I tried and no one believed me, so I give up now. Is God calling you to go above and beyond for someone? Or to go above and beyond for a cause that you believe in? Not just the bare minimum, not even the reasonable expectations, but above and beyond, like Malkijah repairing this huge section of the wall. If God is calling you to go above and beyond, how long will you need to be committed? Your past behavior will influence that answer. For instance, when we first started the monthly free community dinners, we decided to stay committed, even if no one came. I remember those early ones, cooking for 40 and like 12 people show up. That could be defeating. But the team had already discussed it and decided, we don't care, we're going to keep going. Now there can be over 100 people. But that took commitment to reach that. Where do you need to stay committed to see a different result? We've been hearing for a while about, you know, neighborhoods in the sermons, and I'm planning to stay committed to that. I've shared before that Before we came here, when we were just interviewing here, I sent a friend who lives here to be an anonymous spy to get the real dirt on you before I came here. And her number one impression was, boy, these people sure like each other. And I think that is part of the fundamental essence of this church's character. For instance, you know, when we want to help people with food, we didn't start a food bank. We started a Thanksgiving dinner where people can come and have conversation with each other. I mean, yeah, we deliver meals too, but even that, we're delivering it to you, not just being anonymous. And then we expand that to a community dinner where people sit around tables and talk, enjoying relationships. When we wanted to start a program for our more seasoned members, it became the Saturday lunch program where you get to sit together with people and eat and enjoy an interesting program and enjoy the relationships. Why do people love to sing in the choir or the handbell choirs? I mean, yeah, they like to sing and they like to play handbells, but I also hear a lot about relationships. Are you picking up on a theme? If I send out, I've tried before sending out like Bible study materials, like going deeper with the sermon, no one does it. But if we have a class or some other way to gather in relationships, it goes much better. And so I believe that our character, our past behavior, is enjoying relationships with each other. We really like each other, most of the time. That's who we are as a church. So when we think about going above and beyond for our neighbors, that's our calling card. How can we help people enjoy relationships just like we enjoy each other? I think that's our specific niche. I think that's what we are called to do and be. I believe we are called to help people have better relationships with each other, relationships that are enjoyable. That's how I believe we can go above and beyond in a way that resonates rather than swimming upstream like Walmart buying bonobos. So we're going to commit to opportunities to develop and deepen those enjoyable relationships. The two things we've thought of are having monthly free family movie night and also having opportunities for parents to have a night together without the kids, where we watch the kids. We're going to have our first trial movie night on November 9th. It's a movie, well, we'll probably publish the sermon from the earlier service, so I probably can tell you that it's a superhero movie that will be incredible, too. Connect the dots. So it's open to everyone in the church and everyone in our community, an opportunity to come have a free movie, free popcorn, free snacks. That's a way we can go above and beyond for our neighborhood in a way that fits with our character, help people have enjoyable relationships. But it's still probably going to be small, the first one, the first several. We'll have to be committed before it gets traction. But when I tell you this, I don't want you to think that, you know, we're a church that's about movies. That's not the point. A movie night is not about movies. And in the same way, we've been looking at the story of Nehemiah, and it's about rebuilding the walls, but it's not about rebuilding the walls. It's really, Nehemiah rebuilds the walls because he knows that fear is preventing the Israelites from focusing on their relationship with God. They're too busy surviving to care about what did Moses write down. And so by rebuilding the walls, Nehemiah helps them broaden their horizons and care about God again. That's what Nehemiah is really about. Rebuilding the walls results in a spiritual transformation, not just a better defended city. If it was about how to build the best fortifications, it would not be in the Bible. In the same way, I believe that a transformation will happen if we can help people enjoy each other. Because if we can enjoy each other, then we can serve together. And if we can serve together, then maybe we can worship together. And if we can worship together, then God can do miraculous things. And so a movie night isn't about a movie. It's about giving people reasons to care about each other. And if we do that, I believe it will result in a spiritual transformation as well. That is the vision. One last story of a company going above and beyond to illustrate this point. Sainsbury's had a popular item called Tiger Bread. But one day, the company got a scathing letter. Dear Sainsbury's, why is Tiger Bread called Tiger Bread? It should be called Giraffe Bread. Love from Lily Robinson, age 3.5. And so what was the response of this company to this insolent three-year-old who knows nothing about marketing and branding? Well, she got a letter back. Thank you so much for your letter. I think renaming Tiger Bread to Giraffe Bread is a brilliant idea. It looks more like the blotches on a giraffe than stripes on a tiger, doesn't it? It's called Tiger Bread because the first baker who made it long time ago thought it looked stripy like a tiger. Maybe they were a bit silly. Chris King, age 27 and a third. I love that instead of ignoring this child, they cared. They cared to respond and took her opinion seriously. And actually, they shared her letter with other people. Those people cared. And now, Sainsbury's does not sell Tiger Bread. They sell Giraffe Bread, courtesy of Lily Robinson, age 3 and a half. Transformation happens when you decide to care about someone else. That is the power of relationships. In the first text that we read today, we heard, therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, as indeed you are doing. That building up is our task in relationships. And so is God calling you to care? Is God calling you to go above and beyond the reasonable expectations for someone? Is God calling you to do that, not just once, not just for a couple of weeks, but to be committed? If the answer is yes, transformation can happen. Amen.